This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Strike seven after the hour. It's Monday, November the 9th. Here on the DJV program, I'm Doug Steffen along with Victoria Keelan. Jen Jen has gone to the showers, I think literally and figuratively. So the best thing that I can find floating around today is the news from Pfizer. Well, I guess there are a couple, three or four things that are going on, Victoria, that are pretty cool, depending on what you consider, how you measure what it is to be cool. But the Pfizer announcement will, whether you're going to take a vaccine or not, it'll make, and it already has actually, futures markets up over 1,400 points, which is, I can't remember the last time the stock market before it opened was up 1,400 points on a day.
Yep.
Standard & Poor's up dramatically as well. And I think part of it is the Biden election. And
yeah,
part of it.
Foreign markets responded really well to the Biden election.
So if you're somebody who doesn't want to have or you don't think Biden should be president, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because Trump was better for the markets or better for the economy or better for your 401k, I think in the next week or two you may. And again, I didn't have anybody in this horse race. So I'm happy that there is a declared winner, and I think it's time that we move on. And all those people who say that the election's been stolen, that's nonsense. So if you want to have some recounts, cool. Recount to your heart's content.
Yeah, let's make sure everybody feels comfortable that this was, all done in the right way. That's how. Yeah. That's where I'm coming from, at least.
Yeah.
If it takes a few extra weeks, an extra month, okay, I'm fine with that. Let's make sure everyone, all the questions can be raised, all the evidence, whatever the evidence is that Giuliani claims to have, let's get it all out in the open. Let's talk about all of it.
Well, there are a couple of signs I was telling you off the air that I was watching yesterday, Sunday morning programs I don't usually see, but because I was in a place in Los Angeles where I could sit and watch for a while, I watched Jake Tapper, who is an ignoramus as far as I'm concerned. Never liked the guy, don't care for his methods and way, but he's feeding into the CNN audience, at least today's CNN audience. And so he had Mitt Romney on. He was asking Mitt Romney about Trump, and is he going to leave willingly on January 20th, or will the police and the Secret Service have to bring him out? And Mitt Romney kind of scoffed at that, as if to say, what do you ask? What kind of a stupid question is that? And it is a stupid question.
Well, okay, I agree with you on Jake Tapper. I think he's obnoxious. But the reason that recirculated this weekend, because that was a report from, I want to say, 6 or 8 months ago, that leaked out, and I think it came out through Axios and a lot of the other insider Washington things, that Trump had actually said that, the Secret Service would have to escort him out or something, that he would not be going willingly. That's where that came from. That question wasn't just pulled out of his butt.
He says all kinds of things that he doesn't. I mean, he said he throws all, it's like the tweet. Who knows what he really is thinking, because he throws so much crap against the wall. See, he's not that. I mean, the guy's got a lot of personality quirks and defects, and, I'm happy that
Mitt Romney, of all people, Mitt Romney is not going to be the one in the know on that, I mean, Mitt Romney and Trump can't stand each other, so how would Mitt have any intel?
What Mitt said is, in my experience with Donald Trump, he's not going to go quietly. It's not in his personality. So that's it. All right, so he's not going to go quietly. And he's going to stumble, and he's going to do whatever it is. And the people who want to have him stay there he's not going to stay there, one way or another. And hopefully he's mature enough, and that's part of this, the whole business here with him and examining who he is and what's going on. I still maintain that the guy is very smart, and he's got a lot of street smarts. He has done a lot of good things as president, but his personality doesn't qualify him to be the president. It doesn't work. There's too much, we have too many strains. There's too much stress. People are so worked up about things that really, they partly are worked up because every time they turn around, somebody's hitting them with some new story or something like that. You got to all grow up and, you know, put your pants on, boys and girls, and let's deal with the reality of the outcome of the election. And for I know there was a senator on with Tapper also, who's in charge of the transition, and he wouldn't say, because obviously of his constituency, well, when Biden is declared the winner, or words to that effect. And I thought, what are you doing? What do you think? What is accomplished by saying things like that, other than you want to speak to your base? When are you going to get it together? Biden has done a good job, I think, of trying to bring a lot of sides together, because that's in his nature. That
I think
is
that's his tone.
Who he
yeah,
is.
I think the yeah, tone has right. changed. His message and his tone, I think, is something that hopefully will have a calming effect on yeah. everyone's tempers.
There are some things that have been announced already that some of them I think are good ideas, some of them not such good ideas. I still think that the whole business on the border is a question mark, whether everything that gets, you know, I don't even know how far along was the border wall. How much money did we spend on that? It's not finished by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
So what happens with all of that, I guess, is a question. All right, anyway, let's talk a little about this earthquake. I was gone from New England over the weekend, and yesterday morning I woke up to the fact that there was an earthquake about a little less than 4 on the Richter scale. It was off the coast of New Bedford, down in Buzzards Bay, near the Cape. That was the epicenter. And then it affected not only eastern Massachusetts, but Rhode Island into Connecticut. Actually, some people on the eastern end of Long Island felt it as well. So it's the most, effective, if that's the right word for it, in scaring people earthquake since March of 1976. A lot of people went to the website. People from East Hampton, which is out in Hartford, that's out in western Massachusetts, they felt it. They wondered what the heck was going on. So it's not something. It's interesting because on the plane on the way out on Saturday morning, I was watching the story of the earth that has been created. Have you ever seen, this is a one-hour special that sort of brings us up to date or in queue with why the earth is the way it is, what it's made up of, how it became a planet, et cetera, et cetera. It's fascinating stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I learned that I didn't know, Victoria, was that there's about 12 miles of shelf that is on top of whatever is the plates underneath that move, all that they're always moving. That's why when you look at the original formation of the earth around the earth was molten lava, and then it was watery, and it wasn't until about 2.5 billion years ago that land began to form. The land masses were all together. And then as a result, over the billions of years of the separation, that's why we have the continents that we have. And it went through the ice ages and things that we can expect to have happen, dealt with climate change a little bit. And it was very, very, very helpful for those who are really trying to understand what's going on. And these sorts of things, the earthquake's been going on since the planet, since there was a surface created on the planet. So, you know, and to predict them, the scientists that I saw interviewed said, if you get 4 minutes on an earthquake, you're doing something. Because there's just no way you can watch. Remember that movie that The Rock was in and Paul Giamatti? It was San Andreas, I think, from, 4 or 5 years ago? Mm-hmm. Story of an earthquake that destroyed San Francisco, kind of. Well, he was studying. They do study all of this stuff, and they can maybe predict where the next movement is likely to happen, but they can't tell you when the date is. They can just tell you that there's seismic activity under the surface of the planet. And how it was really interesting how the mountains came when, you know, there was a collision basically between masses, and that's where the mountains have come from, that are wherever they are. There's a real direct connection between the mountain, the high mountains, the Andes, and what we have in North America, the Rockies, where they have the Alps and all of that. All of those were Teutonic splits of what was on the surface of the planet, and pushing against each other created the mountains. I thought that was just fascinating to understand. Most of us, you know, if you have it in school, if you're likely, if you're in a good school district where they're teaching these sorts of things, that was really a great lesson. Speaking of that, I also, you know, when I go on these trips, I spend 4 or 5, 6 hours in a plane each way. So I read a lot. I was reading about the realities. Well, let me do something here before I get lost in one of the other stories that I came across. The reason I started talking about earthquakes is because of what was going on here in New England. Now, elsewhere around the country, looks like a lot of water. I saw some prediction in Florida they're going to get 16 inches of rain.
They already have over a foot in some places. It's really bad.
So where is that now?
It's in this is Tropical Storm Eta, and this is it's expected to actually strengthen into a hurricane again. And right now, in the month of October, South Florida got more than 14 inches of rain, and now they got another 12 inches over the weekend. And it's just the one of the Miami-Dade commissioners said that in some areas they have such flooding because the water just isn't pumping out as fast as it's coming in. So I think Governor DeSantis, already declared a state of emergency, and the images of the flooding it's really, really bad. So hopefully this won't stay. Hopefully the storm will move along and not just hover, because right now it's storm surge and the flooding and the rain, that combination is really bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, just think about all of these storms and stuff, and people think we have higher, again, kind of back to the discussion about what's going on the planet. There are many things that change continually. We just happen to see some things speeding up a little bit. And so these sorts of things, this is not an anomaly. In our tracking weather, we've only been tracking weather, remember, since 1880 or something, 1870, 1880. So we know we can compare the last 150 years to what's going on. But before that, you have no idea what was going on. But I think there's a definite correlation between how we are living and what's going on because of carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, all of that stuff does affect the temperature and what goes on in the atmosphere. But there are a lot of things coming out of the core of the planet. Methane gases seeping out through the ground has nothing to do with cows, has nothing to do with cars. It just is seeping out of the core of the Earth. And it's something that it's done over the course of, if you look in the, they have core samples they take out of the Antarctic and the Arctic regions going down. They go down thousands of feet to see, you know, through that ice, you can understand what's happened in the last 2 million years to the planet as far as the meteorological impact is concerned, what's gone on in the atmosphere. And, you know, you can see all of this stuff. It just is. It's
all the major weather events. Yeah, my friend actually does that. He spent 6 months on Antarctica doing exactly what you're talking about, and it's really fascinating.
It is. All right, here's something else that's fascinating. All the people that have gone to Calitrin, this is a fabulous website for you to check yourself out. It's an awesome product, and the people who work there are awesome. If you decided that you're going to lose some weight or you want to get on the program to sort of have a good offense or the defense, whatever, before you get into the holiday season and maybe to affect what you have been doing as far as your eating is concerned since last March, let's work on an intelligent the research is so specific here. The intelligent choices that you can make by reading some of this stuff. I know a lot of people make quick decisions. I certainly am guilty about that. But when it comes to your weight and your health, you need to really investigate before you jump off into any direction. So I suggest you go to toploss.com, read the success stories. Now, obviously, they're not going to publish stories from people that complain and say it's a horrible product. But with an 86% success rate, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that will be happy. So if you want to join that crowd, lose the weight and keep it off, go to toploss.com. Use the code DJV on checkout. It's 21 after the hour.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Victoria, you're going to have to handle this because I'm not sure. Is this Billy Ray Cyrus?
Nope. This is Barry Gibb and Jason Isbell.
Huh?
This is Jason Isbell singing. And it's Barry Gibb has a new album out. It's actually going to be released in 2021.
I see that. I was sort of taken back by listening. I saw, okay, well, Barry Gibb should be up here in our focus on music, because we do that every hour during this segment of the hour. And so I'm looking for Barry Gibb, or I'm listening for Barry Gibb, and what I hear is a country
in the middle
singer.
Apparently.
Yeah. So what is the reason, I guess, Barry Gibb kicking off next year with a new album called Greenfields, the Gibbs Brothers Songbook Volume 1, that's in January. So he also dropped Words of a Fool, this duet with Jason Isbell. So what was, how did this get created? How did this come about? It's not what
you
consider.
Well, that's Barry Gibb singing right there if you want to take a listen to him.
I'd rather be dead with you than go on.
Doesn't sound like anything from the Brothers Gibb, does it?
Well, it's kind of interesting because this was an original Barry Gibb song from 1986 from a solo album, but it was never released.
Oh, really?
So he decided that he's going to take all these classic from his own catalog and from the brothers, and that he was going to make them all into duets with a lot of famous friends.
Huh. It's interesting. You wonder how these people come together. A duet with Dolly Parton, Brandi Carlile, Sheryl Crow. How can you mend a broken heart with Sheryl Crow? That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Run to Me with Brandi Carlile and Words with Dolly. So that's I find that very interesting.
He's got the full list of the catalog of this album is amazing. He's got Keith Urban in there. He's got Olivia Newton-John. Big and Rich, I think, are in there. It's a really interesting mix. He's definitely going very country.
Miranda Lambert does a version of Jive Talking with him.
That's probably good. Well, I love To Love Somebody. That's a great song.
Yeah, and those are all the Bee Gees songs. Anyway, Gibb said, from the first day we stopped into the RCA studios in Nashville, where Elvis and Willie and Waylon and Roy and the Everly brothers made their music, the album took on a life of its own. I feel deep down that Maurice and Robin would have loved this album for different reasons. They're the twins who are his brothers in the Bee Gees. I wish we could have all been together to do it, but I think we were. Jason Isbell, for his part, says Barry Gibb is one of the greatest songwriters and singers in pop music history, and I'm happy to say that he still has a beautiful voice and the magical sense of melody. Working with him on this project has been one of the great honors of my career. So, sounds like we have a little love fest here. Mm-hmm. Bromance, is that what you call it?
It's a bromance.
Yep. A bromance. All right, moving along, 26 after the hour here on the DJV program. Darlene Love, one of the great Christmas songs of all time, is Baby Please Come Home. Crank this puppy up, will you, Bill? It's really very interesting. Every time I come across her name and her music, I've seen her a couple of times. I don't know if you ever have. She's not exactly
live,
your
no.
thing. No, she's
no,
not.
I love her. I love her voice.
Yeah. She's, well, she and Ronnie Spector vied for the lead in the Ronettes. Their voices are very, very similar. If you listen to Darlene Love and you listen to Ronnie Spector, pretty much the same thing. Darlene has a little more range. And a little more personality, but she wouldn't sleep with Phil Spector. So Ronnie got the job because she would sleep with Phil Spector and actually married him. And then to thank her for her wonderful contributions, he screwed her out of about $14 million worth of royalties. He also screwed Darlene Love out of about $10 million. And don't you remember Darlene Love sued the record company, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago? To get her money, and she finally did.
Good for her.
Yeah, right. So those of you who say, Darlene Love, why do I know that name? Not from singing. She played the wife in Mel Gibson, Danny Glover. What was the name of that? Those three Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon? Okay.
Yeah, right. She's the wife. All right, so anyway, she's not going to bring her annual holiday show on the road this year, obviously. She's still going to spread cheer. She's going to present a special Love for the Holidays event from the Sony Hall in New York on the 5th of next month. Tickets are $35 for the stream, despite the absence of an in-person audience. Love for the Holidays will be standard Darlene Love Christmas material, complete with a full band, background singers, costumes, professional lighting, classic holiday tunes like the one we just started with, Christmas Baby, along with non-seasonal hits like He's a Rebel and Today I Met the Boy I'm Going to Marry. Those are big hits from her. It was actually recorded earlier this month. I decided to do this digital Christmas show primarily because it's the next best way of being in the same room with my fans. That's what Darlene said. I miss the meet and greet and the happy applause, but my production team is committed to delivering a most intimate, delightful holiday fellowship with family and friends. So she's actually dedicated the show to her sister, Edna Wright Perry, who died in September. She was the lead singer of that group, The Honeycomb, best known for that song, Wadads, back in 71. Remember that?
I love that song. Yeah. Wadads is one of my favorite songs.
There
love
it is.
It.
Crank it up, Bill. This is the silliest song. That's a good song. It's very typical of that era. My sister Edna sang on all my Christmas.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani says as many as 10 lawsuits alleging election fraud will be presented this week. Giuliani goes on to say there is strong evidence that this was an election that in at least 3 or 4 states and possible 10, it was stolen. Now, you can't let an election go into history without challenging that. Alex Trebek has lost his battle with cancer.
This is Jeopardy!
The 80-year-old Jeopardy! Game show host holds the record for the most episodes, spanning 36 years.
Alex Trebek!
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome aboard.
In March 2019, he had been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer and was among a small percentage of people to live a year or longer with the diagnosis. In July, he published his memoir, The Answer Is, Reflections on My Life. Mr. Trebek died at home in Los Angeles, California, Sunday, after more than 18 months fighting pancreatic cancer. USA Radio News.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Chase Elliott won his first NASCAR Cup Series title Sunday at Phoenix Raceway. Joining his father, Bill, is champions of stock car racing's top division. At 24 years of age, Elliott became the third youngest Cup Series champion in NASCAR history.
We did it. Championship crew chief Alan Gustafson is now a NASCAR Cup Series champion and very deserving. I just can't say enough about our group. You know, I feel like we took some really big strides this year, and last week was a huge one. And to come out of that with a win and a shot to come here and have a chance to race is unbelievable.
Only Jeff Gordon in 1995 and 1950 champ Bill Rexford were younger. Alex Trebek has lost his battle with cancer.
This is Jeopardy!
The 80-year-old Jeopardy! Game show host holds the record for the most episodes spanning 36 years.
Alex Trebek!
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome aboard.
In March 2019, he had been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer and was among a small percentage of people to live a year or longer with the diagnosis. In July, he published his memoir, The Answer Is, Reflections on My Life. Mr. Trebek died at home in Los Angeles, California, Sunday, after more than 18 months fighting pancreatic cancer. You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is how we do every day.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
Mind for the metaphysical? Then you need to check out the podcast for Your Hidden Power. Visit YourHiddenPowerShow.com or you can find Your Hidden Power on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your other favorite podcasts. It's 34 at the hour now. On the DJV program, it's Monday the 9th, isn't it? Yeah, today's the 9th. Hello, Victoria Keelan, Doug Steffen here. And the news of the passing of Alex Trebek has been, I don't know, difficult, do you think? It isn't like it wasn't expected.
It did feel like a surprise. It felt like it was a surprise, though, because the last few times that we've gotten updates from him, he's been hanging in there and he's been feeling okay. And, you know, and then it just... I got the TMZ alert yesterday morning, and it did take me by surprise. We weren't expecting it at this moment, but I think he took a very sudden turn, and and so he passed away at home with his family around him. But yeah, it's very sad.
Cultural
icon.
That stuff. Oh, for sure. Anyway, my daughter had his daughter in class when she was teaching at the one of the high schools in Los Angeles, and. Said he was delightful as a parent, the wife is delightful, the children were delightful,
Around good guy, right?
Yep.
I think everybody just felt like he was
a
comforting presence in everyone's house.
So who then gets to fill that slot? That's got to be the speculation. A lot of different nooks and crannies.
Well, the good news is there are taped episodes of Jeopardy that are hosted by Alex that will continue to air through Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't really have to make an announcement until the end of the year.
Right.
So I think the rumors might be that, you know, it would be a former Jeopardy champion, like a Ken Jennings or somebody that the
Bad
Jeopardy
choice.
Community is already...
Somebody
it has to be someone...
TV panache.
Well, but that's not the point of what Alex Trebek did. And this, if they want to add in, you know, which I think would kill the show, I think if they want to add in someone who's, you know, got a big TV personality, that's the antithesis of how Alex Trebek ran the show.
Yeah.
Alex Trebek was so smart, and every contestant said he knew all of the answers and had done all the research.
Yeah.
He really...
You're very well prepared.
You have to be prepared. You have to be intelligent. That's why someone within the Jeopardy community that's a known face, I think that's probably going to be a solid bet. I don't think they're not going to stick some random celebrity in there. You know, that would be a huge mistake.
And that's what people said about when Bob Barker left The Price is Right. Everybody said, who are you going to put in there? Who? And they pulled out of left field Dana, what's his face? Why do I not remember? You know who I mean.
He's Drew Carey?
Drew, I'm sorry, yeah, Drew Carey. Came from left field. And he's apparently worked all right in the situation because they now have an evening edition during prime time on CBS of The Price is Right. So he looks so different than he used to. He looks almost professorial. All right, so there's that and the passing of comedian Norm Cosby. For those of you who don't remember what his shtick was, here's a bit of audio.
This is without doubt the most voluptuous conglomeration of feminine pulchritness that has ever been put together. I mean it. It's just, if you look for an epitome of conjuncture, this is it. And they are so demure and so voluptuous and so adhesive and so protruding. It's beautiful.
He was from Massachusetts, became a comic early on. He was one of Johnny Carson's favorites. He was always on late night on these various shows. I don't think he's done anything for years. And I've forgotten about him, actually. How old was he? Did you see, Phil, how old he was? I didn't see how old he was as he passed, but I know he was no spring chicken. Just a really interesting. 93. Okay, good. So he's passed. Al Roker has announced that he has prostate cancer. Now, the fact that he's got it, he had a routine physical, and that's where, you know, they look at the blood to do the PSA test. It's not like all of us who have physical, all men who have physicals, get their prostate checked. It's a digital rectal exam, pretty uncomfortable, and, you know, people make a lot of jokes about it. Roker's had his physicals every year, and he said he wasn't expecting this. Well, I guess nobody does. But the not one in nine of us diagnosed with prostate cancer at various stages of our lives. Most of the time, older men in their 80s who get it don't have any. It just is there. If you're younger, Al's only 66, and you get it, sometimes it can have a pretty negative, nasty effect. I have a friend who's had it since he was in his early 60s. And he's come close to death a couple of times, but because he has a lot of money, he's been able to go here, there, and everywhere to get treatment. And he's had most of it. He takes a drug that makes him really nasty and grumpy. He's had it frozen. He's had he's had everything done to him. It's not pleasant if you really have a bad case of it. And it does affect more black men than it does white men, as it seems, older black men. He says... Roker says it's a bit more common than people realize. He wanted to go public with it to spread awareness and encourage other men, particularly black men, to see a doctor for proper checkups. One of the things that is obvious is we've gone through this whole thing this year about what black men have and what they don't have, or black people and what they get in terms of opportunity. They don't get good medical care in a lot of parts of this country. For whatever the reason, whether they don't
black
have money,
women
doctor,
have a much higher morbidity rate of during childbirth. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't think that in America that any woman would just be dying at a high rate of in during childbirth, and that's what's happening to black women.
Yep.
So it's I think it's great that he's raising awareness. This is something that men don't want to talk about.
No,
you know, a lot of men don't want to talk about this. You're different. You love doctors, but most men don't.
Yeah.
And so
I don't love them. I want to know what's going on in my body because I think it's it's practical.
Right.
Why would you want to take care of yourself?
Right, but I'm sure you know plenty of guys who don't ever want to go to the doctor.
I'm strong. I don't need to see a doctor. Yeah. I feel fine.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Al Roker felt fine before he went to see the doctor.
Right. Exactly.
And so, he'll talk about it on the air. I know he will. He's going to go undergo surgery to have the prostate removed. Sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't. It just kind of depends. But it's a pretty uncomfortable, those of you maybe who have had it or know somebody who has it, it's literally, you can't sit down for a month. When you get into bed, you gotta sleep on your stomach and hope that you don't roll over. You have to wear a diaper for, a fairly extended period of time.
I think you're scaring people away from the doctor now, and that's kind of not what we...
you go and, know what the treatment is. But if you're foolish enough to not have a physical every year, whether you're a man or a woman, I mean, it's just, that's the word, foolish. It's very
foolish.
Well,
if you don't have health care, then that goes on the back burner and that happens a lot.
Well, what's more important, your life or spending whatever it costs to have a physical?
In America, that shouldn't be a question. That should not even be a choice.
But that is the question because we haven't been able to figure out what to do about health care.
And isn't that
make
sad?
Sense. Well, it's pretty stupid, actually, but under the circumstances, still, in terms of your life and your well-being and your health, think about others in your family that may depend on you. And if you don't know what's going on in your body, you're being very foolish and irresponsible, I think. I mean, instead of going to a football game or something, that's how much money it would cost to bring you and the family to a baseball game or a football game. Take that money and go see a doctor and get a physical if you don't have any insurance. That's what I think that's the only thing that makes any sense. Speaking of a football game, the NFL expanding the sideline area to give teams more space and distance, and mask usage is becoming mandatory before and after the games and at halftime. So this protocol was sent to the clubs in a memo last week, Victoria, after the league learned they had a couple of players who had been in games that after the games tested positive. My thinking is they probably knew they were positive before they put them out there, but they were important players, and so, caution went to the wind.
Could be, yeah.
But the league has encouraged players to wear masks whenever they come off the field, and there's everybody. I was in Los Angeles this weekend, and I can't tell you that I saw four people who didn't have masks on, no matter what we were doing. We had a birthday party for me on Saturday night at Megan's, and then yesterday at Brendan's, and going and coming and being at the airport. And actually, we didn't go to any restaurants. We had dinner at home. But looking around at people, I went to the dentist's office when I got there on Saturday morning, and everybody I saw on the street in that area, it was clear that people have gotten the message, at least as far as I can see.
But I feel like Californians were pretty good about it from the beginning. Same with New Yorkers. You walk down the streets of New York, everybody has a mask on.
Yeah,
so
but
New
York has done a better job of containing it. They haven't done a good job. They have done a very bad job for whatever the reason in California of sustaining this, whether it's leadership, who knows what. But there have been a lot of, we all know that California is pretty much, well, it's not as shut down as it was 3 or 4 months ago, but it's shut down a lot. Massachusetts, starting this week, nothing's open after 9:30 at night. That's it.
Which is so weird.
Like, so what is the magic of 9:30?
The virus doesn't take a nap, it doesn't go to bed. Like, I don't know. I don't get that at all.
Well, here's what's going on. Here's what I think is going on. We're getting into the Christmas season. And if the politicians decide they want to shut everything down at Christmas, it'll put a lot of mom-and-pop stores out of business. It'll be great for Amazon, but it won't be good for the mom and pop stores that depend on the time from now until the end of the year to actually make a profit. They don't, you know, some of them don't make any money until they get into Christmas season, and there are probably in your area, our area, anybody's area, dozens and dozens and dozens of shops and stores that even if they're not local, national, that depend on this time of year to stay in business. So if you start shutting them down this time of year, you're going to have a whole hell of a mess on your hand. And I think that's part of what was going on in the mind of some of these people who are having to make these decisions. But at any rate, the situation with athletic events continues to be something that we struggle with. Speaking of that, Joe Biden has already been invited to throw the first pitch. I thought that was pretty interesting. The Washington Nationals made their pitch to the president, if you'll pardon the pun, last week, I guess. He has said, "Yeah, you know, well, they say we look forward to hosting the president." But it's just a...
But here's my question. So a little bit of the history of this. President Taft in 1910 began this tradition of the president throwing out the first pitch.
Right.
Only two presidents who have never done it. Trump, which, you know, we know there was some controversy there, and then he had a scheduling thing, and so I think he was invited and then didn't follow up. But so we know about that. But Jimmy Carter never did it. So I'm wondering, because I wasn't around then, but I'm wondering, do you know why Jimmy Carter never did it?
I don't. As a matter of fact, I don't know why he didn't do it.
I thought that was kind of interesting. I like presidential history. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting, but I don't know the reason, frankly, the reason behind it. It's just, yeah.
I think, well,
he wasn't
Jen
very
and I
athletic.
Were,
maybe that was his.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Jen and I were talking about it earlier. The best one, I don't think anyone could ever beat it, was George W.'s pitch.
Yep.
To the Yankees. I mean, that was just
well, remember,
what a perfect, perfect pitch.
He owned the
Rangers.
Rangers.
Yeah.
And was very active at that time. He never, you know, when he started running for president, he didn't really ever think he had a chance. It was just he did it on a lark because somebody said, yeah, you know, it's kind of like Trump in a way. But nobody, they weren't serious about it at the beginning. Today is National Fried Chicken Sandwich Day. Chick-fil-A allegedly came up with a fried chicken sandwich sometime in the 1940s. They've been around that long, Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. So is it a family thing? This guy that runs it now, he didn't start it in 1940. He was barely alive in 1940.
Right.
I think he's in his like late 70s, this guy. I forget his name. Anyway, recipes and historians believe that Scottish chicken frying techniques using lard, no seasoning, and a West African chicken pan frying technique using palm oil, lots of seasoning, were combined by enslaved blacks in the antebellum South. Fried chicken, as we know, it was born there. My grandmother used to make the most wonderful fried chicken. Oh, my God. And I don't like chicken these days, but when I was a kid, it was something I would go to Illinois just to have fried chicken. Ads found in newspapers for fried chicken sandwiches predate the time period that Chick-fil-A claims to have invented it. It's great marketing, though, for them. But I think their best marketing is a picture of a cow on a billboard that says, eat more chicken. That's probably the best one. All right, don't forget the MyPillow deal that's going on right now. Limited time. The offer is all of the pillows, all of their pillows, are off by 66%. That is, you take 60% off the regular price. Premium MyPillow, $29.98 right now, usually $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Now's the time to buy. Not only are you getting the lowest price ever, but you get a 60-day money-back guarantee till March of next year. Go to MyPillow.com on checkout. Use the discount code DJV.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do you have health or energy challenges? Would you like to support your health and energy from a product that people consistently feel the uplifting and health-building effects from the first day they consume it? I introduce you to Green Meadow Whey, the only whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows that is processed in a manner that ensures that the proteins and amino acids remain in their correct geometric shape that the body can use. The naturally occurring proteins, peptides, and amino acids in renatured whey are proven to support multiple aspects of human health, from complementing your immune system to neutralizing chronic inflammation to supporting detoxification to stabilization of blood sugar and more. Additionally, due to the Tesla-like frequencies encoded into Green Meadow Whey, it is a dramatic support for your energy and mood. And it is an excellent emergency preparedness food with well over a 5-year shelf life. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit greenmeadowway.com. Greenmeadowway.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Theme from Jurassic Park gets us started with movie moments this Monday. Chuck Curry is here with Victoria and me on the DJV program. Chuck Curry is our movie man. So we're playing the theme, which we often do from Jurassic Park, because there must be some news. Somebody died. Somebody was born. There's a new dinosaur on the planet. What's the story, Chucker?
No, actually, no. It just relaxes me. I like the theme. Really? Cool. You know, filming has actually wrapped on Jurassic World Dominion. That's the third entry in the Jurassic World series. Chris Pratt, Dallas Bryce Howard returned, but also Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum from the original first three films. So that movie will be edited in the can and not ready for 2021, but summer of 2022. So we have something to look forward to, Doug, in 2022.
Not me. I don't give a damn about Jurassic Park.
Really?
Or watch some dinosaur eat people up. I don't know. What's the
how what about the theme? What about the theme? Did it relax you?
No, but thanks for asking. The fact that you asked is very cool, Chucker. Thank you for being concerned about my well-being. The passing of Alex Trebek. There were a couple of movies at one point in time around the game show theme. And as I was thinking about him passing, I was thinking about... I can't remember the name of the movies. Can you...
I cannot. Let me ask you a question.
There was a movie called Quiz Show, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's
but
right.
I never saw it.
That was based on a true... That was directed by Robert Redford, starred John Turturro. That was about a game show that was fixed back in the... Mm-hmm. I think in the 1950s or 60s.
The $64,000 question was the game show.
You know, it's interesting because I look at the game shows in general and hosts, and if you think about it, it's a very important part of America's pop culture. When I was a really little kid after school, I used to come home and watch Match Game, and I thought Gene Rayburn was a lot of fun. And I loved, you know, the panel on that show, Charles Nelson Reilly, Richard Dawson. It was a very entertaining game show. I loved Hollywood Squares with Peter Marshall. That was added at 30 at night.
Yeah.
And I like Dick Clark in $100,000 Pyramid. That was also a pretty good one.
He was good at it. Dick Clark was good at everything
he
approached. And so to go back to your theory about Ryan, that may not be, you know, when you think about Dick Clark and what he was known for, that wasn't being a game show host, wasn't one of the things he was known for when he got that job. It was a daytime show and a nighttime show.
And I also like Richard Dawson on Family Feud, who actually got the role. He got the role of the villain in Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I thought he killed it. He did a fantastic job in that film playing the game show host villain. Really good. But, you
Victoria's theory.
He was pretty good, too.
Victoria's theory is that they'll pick somebody that's an insider to host the program. Somebody
like
who's
a former champion. Yeah, or they'll do, like, maybe rotating hosts of, you know, of former champions.
I got a question for you, Doug. I'm serious. Alistair Beck worked, they said, up until what, a week or two ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, he basically knew when he had that cancer. It's an almost impossible cancer to beat. So he worked up until the end of his life.
Yep.
Now, did he do that? Do you think he did that because he actually loved his job? Or he was addicted to his job. What do you think?
No, I think he was very good at it. He came across as somebody who had affinity for the work. It wasn't that he was just there looking at a teleprompter.
Yeah,
he knew what was going on. He was
that's
prepared.
Why
you
can't just be a fluffy celebrity. Right. You can't, the people who are fans of the show take it seriously.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is if you knew you were in that same position, he obviously is super wealthy. That show is unbelievably profitable, and he's a huge part of that profit. Do you work until the end, or do you enjoy yourself and do whatever you want?
But he was enjoying
himself.
He does enjoy
himself.
How do you know?
I know, and that's my point. That's my point. I get that.
I enjoy what I do for work. I'm not going to stop working just because there's an age attached to my name. That's foolish. I think it's foolish.
His final episode will air on Christmas Day, so I would imagine a lot of people will tune in for that.
Yep. So
now, in terms of box office totals, Let Him Go, the Kevin Costner Diane Lane movie, number one, $4.1 million, played on like 2,500 screens.
Well,
they had a deal with streaming at the same time, so it was worth them certainly releasing it in theaters.
So here's, as you look back at what's happened since the theaters reopened, Tenet in its first week of release didn't do $3 million. I think that the Liam Neeson movie did a little over $3 million. So now this is the third big release, if you want to put it in those terms, to come out since the theaters reopened, and it's up $1 million over those other two. Each one of those releases went up $1 million on its first week, so that's got to tell you something. Maybe that's a good sign. Let's hope it is.
A little better.
Yeah. Now, I mean, there's no theaters open in Los Angeles. I checked that out this weekend. Nothing. Closed down. All right, Chuck Curry.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.